Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahavīryam karavāvahai, tejasvi navadhitamastu mā vidviṣāvahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so back to the continuing in the discussion of the theistic moralist as opposed to the, within theistic moralism, the true theistic, true theism as opposed to pseudo theism. Okay. It is necessary to cultivate knowledge of science, arts, morality, and God. But this cultivation is of two types, improper and proper. Proper cultivation refers to cultivation performed at the wrong time and in the wrong way, without considering one's own qualification. Right? As the time, place, and circumstance aren't really considered because your own qualification is not actually seen. A person should practice according to his qualification. If he does more or less, the proper result will not manifest. Because whatever you're doing, if you put too much energy into it or not enough, either one will not make it work. You know, just anything you do, it has to be the right balance. Yeah. Qualification is according to one's nature. Nature arises due to original circumstance, teachings, and association. So here, original circumstance will mean what is the nature, what you've been born into, what is the original situation you find yourself in. Right? So you're going to start with that. And then having done that, then based on that, how, what kind of association you're in, and what kind of training you get. Right? Because someone could be born into a good situation but not get any training or association. Or someone could be in a bad situation but get good training and association. Right? So you have to consider the whole thing together. Right? The whole thing together will actually give the actual situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
No, this is the same principle for material nature, spiritual nature?
The spiritual nature, it means... Yeah, it's the same in both. The point is when one comes to the platform of prema, it's already balanced. It means you've come to that perfectional platform. Because the balance means the proper balance of your whole attentions, your endeavors and everything in love for God. So in other words, it's the perfect natural balance. So therefore, according to your particular qualification, your association, your training, you're perfectly engaged. Right, because the point out here is you're going to go through and bring out that this is that varnashram, right?
Yes.
Right? So the point is the varnashram simply means you're situated according to what your qualifications are. Mm-hmm. Right? Not what you think you are, but what you actually have. Because in illusion, one of course is going to think so many things. One can say, no, I know who I am, but the point is do you know you're servant of God? You know, that's the basic. Is that so? If we don't act on that platform, naturally everything else is going to be off. So in the spiritual world, then everybody acts according to position. Cowherd boys only do what cowherd boys do. They don't do what gopis do. They don't do what the elder gopis do. They don't do what their parents do. They do just what they're supposed to do. The elder gopis do what they do. They don't do what the elder men do. They don't do what the cowherd boys do. They don't do what the younger gopis do. Right? The servants do what they do. They don't do what the cows do, and they don't do what someone else does. So everybody is serving Krishna in pure love. but according to their qualification, and that a qualification applied to the circumstance. So it's the same principle. All that we're trying to do is, this is the method that we can mechanically go through it and learn it here, right? We're simply trying to learn that it's all about doing everything in connection with God. You know, it's about God, it's not about us. Because, well, let's say we say, oh yes, it was, you know, something was very nice. It was a nice kirtan, right? Mm-hmm. But we may be talking about the experience of the kirtan, which is true. It is nice kirtan. Why is it a nice kirtan? Because it's Krishna. But the focus may be on what we're getting from the kirtan rather than what we're putting into the kirtan. Does that make sense? But because it's connected to Krishna, it's transcendental, it's perfect. But now, it's a matter of pure devotional service means more perfect. Right? Like that. Your pure unalloyed means most perfect. So just naturally, there's a natural progression. But it's, we're having to learn to switch the mentality from it's about us to it's about Krishna. So therefore, depending upon, you know, the original circumstance is what you have to work with, but the association and training is the most important. So you may be born in a non-devotional environment, but if you get the association and training from those in a devotional environment, then one will move forward that way. So the thing is the conditioning is secondary to the devotional attitude. But at the same time as what qualifications you'll have to do in devotional service, what particular activities, that's based on your conditioned skill. Because for Krishna, it's the devotion that matters. It's not what skill you're applying. That's why this concept that, you know, well, everybody, you know, should be able to do everything. What has that got to do with Krishna? What has that got to do with anything, really, except for ourselves? Because the idea is that express your love for Krishna, and then express, and then how do you express it? Through the qualifications that you have. So it doesn't matter if you have qualifications that are different from someone else. Mm-hmm. The point is the variety and uniqueness of every aspect within the social culture. But there's an idea, no, I'll get more benefit. Well, what more benefit will you get? You know what I'm saying? Let's say there's a situation you don't do. What benefit you'll get? You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, that so many restrictions in household life and this and that, so I want to be free from those. But what will you gain from it? What Krishna conscious element? Right? You know, oh no, but then you could travel more. Okay, well, what will you do when you're traveling? Well, I'll give seminars, but then what are you going to say in your seminars? Don't do your duties? You know, or give up everything? You know, so that's the whole point is, okay, then if it's give up everything, then why don't you give up household life? And just stick to the life of the brahmacharis. You know, or if you're going to be a grahat, then perform your duties. But the point is, in other words, it's just, we're just looking at what I will get from it, not what Krishna, what is it more favorable for Krishna? That's the whole point. That's the Varnashram systems. What's going to be the most favorable to Krishna? Now, within Varnashram, you can make the same mistake as in sadhana bhakti, right? Now, it's just like in Varnashram, then Prabhupada mentions human life begins with Varnashram, right? Before that, not technically not human, but the point is because the soul is there, the soul can be engaged in activities even if you're not human, right? Hanuman and the monkeys were not human. But they did wonderful service for Ramachandra, right? But Varnashram is where human life begins, right? And human life is the most favorable situation to cultivate God consciousness. So then the element that you're bringing in there of that cultivation then depends upon what you have to work with. And so if you get distracted by this knowledge itself, the skill itself, the experience gained from that, the result gained from that, the identity gained from that, then you've missed the point of Varnashram. So Prabhupada will point out this. And because you have all these, you may misjudge the situation, misidentify yourself, misidentify the goal or what part of the goal for yourself, not use the proper knowledge or get distracted by the knowledge, not use the proper endeavor, get distracted by that, or the experience that comes from it, then you get distracted by that. So there's so many aspects you can bring out that you can get distracted in Varnashram. So Prabhupada mentioned that. But then people will think, no, that means we don't follow Varnashram. But in devotional service, we don't talk about getting distracted by karma and jnana.
Yes.
Right? So the point is what your act karma means engaging the senses. Jnana means engaging the mind and intelligence. Right? So that means we're not doing that in everyday devotional service? Yes, we are. So therefore we take it, okay, I perform sadhana bhakti, but I'm very careful to see that it's pure. But applying the same principle to Varnashram, then it's not that, okay, we're supposed to perform Varnashram, but we're supposed to be very careful to make sure it's Daiva Varnashram and we don't get distracted by just a regular asura. You know? Like that, because smartas follow sadhana bhakti.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance that there are some of them that do it as well, if not better, than your average devotee, if not even your nicely practicing devotee. You know? As far as form goes, they get up, they do everything, everything's clean. I mean, they're very paka. Very, very paka. But the problem comes is that the devotional element is lacking. So that's the problem with it. Right? So one has to understand is that's our sadhana and the other is our lifestyle. You know? And that also determines what outside of sadhana, what services you do. Sadhana, everybody's the same. But what services you do, that's where we make a distinction. Does that make sense? Like that, yeah.
Means what kind of...
A little loudly.
Means service means what kind of job or work?
No, it means that, okay, who manages the temple? Someone who knows how to manage or someone who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Who cooks? Someone who can cook or not?
Mm-hmm.
You understand like that? You know, who collects the money? Who works with the NGOs? Who does the prison preaching?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means, you know, who works with the community, who works with, you know, all these different things like that. Who goes down and gets all the permissions for the Ratha Yatra? You send some, you know, spaced out brahmachari who doesn't know which end is which. He's supposed to be there 10, shows up at 12, you know, misses the day. Is he the guy to send?
Mm-hmm.
But he's sincere. He really wants to do it for Jagannath. But do you let him do it? No. So that's the whole thing, is that these are points for understanding. They're not points for choosing, I want to do it or not. You know what I'm saying? Means just like everything, of course, you can choose. Just like you can choose whether you want to chant Hare Krishna or not. Right? But the point is then if that's the recommendation, and 16 rounds is recommended. Now, if you want to get initiated, you have to chant 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, well, no, I'll chant if I want and not if I want, and why do I have to be restricted?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just the way it is. So the same way, human life means Varnashram, devotional life means sadhana bhakti. And they're both working on the same principle. Just one's working on for the conditioning, you know, to engage, how to raise the conditioning to the platform that's basically consistently useful to use in Krishna service, right? Because motive goodness means it's consistently useful. Now, whether you use it, that's a matter of your sadhana, your training, your association. But motive passion and ignorance aren't very useful. So without Varnashram, what's the guarantee you're in the motive goodness? So that means much of your life outside of your sadhana is not engageable in Krishna's service.
So this is like, for example, like book distribution, Prabhupada said, is pure transcendental, but how you performing this is defense of your consciousness.
Yeah, of course. Then you may be mixed, but that's a matter of that's direct devotional service. Then whether it's pure or it's mixed. Right. What I'm talking about is going home and, you know, being with the family.
Right.
You know, if it's in the mode of goodness, then you can connect all the aspects to Krishna. But if it's not in the mode of goodness, it's my house, I do what I want in my house, then, you know, then yes, you do what you want, but then Krishna, what has Krishna got to do with your house? You know, that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, you know, in your house, you know, okay, at the temple, you know, you get into using the water and all that kind of thing. At home, you use your toilet paper because it's your house, you know. But now, you know, does Krishna want to eat your food? You know, because why are you doing it? Okay, if that devotion is there, he'll take that aspect. But it's a matter of it's not a matter of you're using toilet paper. You come in contact with devotees. You're chanting. You're in ecstasy. You're still cooking. They say, cook for Krishna. You're cooking for Krishna. Everything's fine. And then one day you use the toilet and you notice there's no toilet paper. So you ask what's going on here, and they tell you, well, we use water, right? And then, oh, use water. And so then it's like, I'm not using water. You know, hey, you know, this is stupid. Then Krishna's not going to be so pleased with your offering. But if it's a matter, okay, so he didn't care before. Because it's about the attitude. You know what I'm saying? You don't care if a small child does something very, very enthusiastically and trying to please. Even if it's wrong. It means they're trying. Sincerely, then you're happy. But if they have attitude, then there's nothing nice the kid does. Anybody with attitude, who likes attitude? Right? Does that make sense? Or you have other people that have attitude, and they all sit around and, you know, see who can have better attitude. You know, like that. But you know how many people do that? It's a very small, small group. It's not a very actually big popular group, you know. I mean, it's they may romanticize it in movies and stuff like that, but there's hardly any people that are like that. You know, and at some point, then they get very frustrated. Okay? Qualification is according to one's nature. Nature arises due to original circumstance, teaching, and association. That's nature. When you take support of the scientific system of Varnashram, he said scientific, not sentimental. Devotees try to make it sound like it's sentimental. Just some tradition, people are attached to it, but we're following the modern scientific method. What's so scientific about, you know, how you say, you pass stool, right? You take a shower, and then you shave. Isn't that how it goes, right? That's the order, right? But now you've shaved, now you're actually not clean.
Yeah.
Now you can say, though, because you took the shower, the beard's very soft, so the shaving goes very nice. but far as cleanliness go, you're not very clean. So what's so scientific about this? Other than efficiently got things done, but as far as the standards of cleanliness and these other things that support the mind and the mode of goodness, that's not there. So now he's very expert about all that because he got the results. So he's worried about the efficiency of it and not about what result Krishna gets. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, devotees change your order. They pass stool, they shave, then they take a shower. Right? So everything gets done, you just adjust the order. Right? Okay, so scientific system Varnashram of Bharata. Because see, is everywhere on the planet they're using Varnashram, but it's not scientific. So here it's just pointing out that in Bharata there's the scientific system of Bharata. It's not just something made up or something here and there. Prabhupada talks about it. You know, here's Bhaktivinoda Thakura talking about it. And he did a really good job of it. You can't say. He was a community member, he had a job, he was very good at it, he wrote books, he chanted 64 rounds, you know, he went preaching, you know, he had 12 kids, you know, like that, and, you know, so, you know, one of them was an acharya, like that, so he did okay as a grihastha. You can't say that he did bad, right? After discerning your qualification, you will perfect your activities and attain the final goal. It's just a nice package. You can do it by other methods, right? Narad Muni, after explaining Varnashram, explains how the Malechas come into taking up practicing devotional service. They pour so much ghee on the fire goes out, and then they become so frustrated that if they're fortunate to meet the pure devotees, then they take up devotional service. But then the problem, once they're in devotional service, then will they follow that varnashram element, or will they continue going on doing whatever they want whimsically and getting totally frustrated? So doing a whimsically, getting totally frustrated is fine as long as that frustration, you always surrender to Krishna. But if at some point you think in the frustration that there's something wrong with this process, something wrong with the association of devotees, something wrong with the organization or the institution, then this malecha process is not actually very valuable. You know what I'm saying? The point is to surrender to Krishna. Because they want material facilities, the Varnashram will offer it. Whatever you're due according to your karma. Right? So the thing is therefore follow the system, you get the best material result, and you, if you understand what you're doing, you have the nicest offering for Krishna. You know, so it works out on all sides. Because Krishna wants to see the devotees are nicely situated. But the thing is then one has to be aware of it. Please understand that your soul is deathless through logic and intrinsic faith. Right? So again, once we've established that, that the soul is beyond this, is deathless. So that means you'll be changing position in Varnashram or wherever it is, birth after birth. So that's why that's the cultivation of knowledge. Right? Then your life in Vaidhi Bhakti will be perfect in all respects. Right? So in other words, following the Varnashram, knowing that I'm the spirit soul, that is beyond all this. Right? That's then going to make the Vaidhi work nicely. Though you appear to have arisen from your mother's womb by transcendental logic and advanced methods, raise and embellish that self to higher existence. You existed before this birth, and after this life you'll exist. Without such conviction, your faith in God will not be pure. Right? But since we're dealing here in the third level of this, how you say, consciousness, you have those who are rising up to this, and so he's showing the examples to bring them to this platform. But beyond this is platforms of consciousness. But as far as activities go, this is where it ends. Here. Mm-hmm. Means the activities of dharma, artha, karma, moksha are dharma. Right? Artha without dharma doesn't work, kama without dharma doesn't work, and moksha without dharma doesn't work. So then you're properly situated. So by coming here, then you might be a good theistic moralist. So it might be more on the morality, but at least you're rightly situated. But now if you take up the sadhana bhakti, or the vaidhi bhakti as he mentions here, then that's the neophyte devotee. So then he'll be able to work very nicely. Right? It'll work very nice for him. But for the devotee, it's understood we're going to go two levels beyond this level of consciousness. But the activity is going to stay the same.
Now, can we say that at that level, the theistic moralist, he become more theistic than moralist?
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is that he should start to become more theistic than moralist. But the point is so we see that there's stages here. He's theistic moralist, but it's just pseudo-theism just because it works. It's a better position. You're peaceful, or you have some idea of this and that you're going somewhere and all this, but you're just making it all up, or someone else has made it up. When you actually get into real theism, then it's better. It becomes situated more properly. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you have the thing is now that theism should keep going. So you actually develop that faith in the association of pure devotees, right? Mm-hmm. But the devotees, see, in other words, the materialist may come up through these things and then finally take up devotional service. But the devotee is still working with the same field. The field of activities for the materialist and for the devotee are the same. Mm-hmm. The difference is how you use them. You know, is it your field or is it God's field? Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's the efficiency of using the field. Since you're going to have to use the field anyway, therefore, that's what Varnashram is. I guess this is called greed. you get something much bigger than you can carry. So he's been buzzing around for 5 minutes trying to get out of this area because this guy's too heavy that he can't pick him up.
Probably for the family.
Yeah, yeah. No, you sell that. Because the next one you might get through. There you go. Krishna finally. You know, he has to work at it, but eventually. Suddenly they catch something they can still fly with. But this one is. Daiva Varnashram has to be a genuine theist.
And only Varnashram is the pseudo
theist.
Only just Varnashram?
Yeah, ordinary. It means technically it's Daiva Varnashram, Asurag Varnashram. Mm-hmm. Asurag means it's not connected to God. Daiva means it is. But the mechanics of the Varnashram are exactly the same. Do you know what I'm saying? So, therefore, you can say Varnashram. As far as the positions, the interactions, the duties, you know, all the different results, that's all the same. That's Varnashram. Now, your mentality can be connected to God, so Daiva, or not connected to God, Asura. Now, connected to God, Daiva, then in the neophyte platform, then it can be, you know, means that, how you say, you're following Varnashram, but not really connected to the parampara, right? So, therefore, you have belief in God, but you don't really know much about God, right? But then you come in contact with the parampara. So now you actually know who God is. But now, as a neophyte, then the activities and results of Varnashram are more important than they take more, too much of a balance over the spiritual understanding, right? Then, as one advances more, then it comes into balance. So this idea that he's mentioned here, he says, please understand that your soul is deathless through lodging the intrinsic fate, because that's the next step. The next step is going to be understanding that we're not the body. That becomes more of a focus. Varnashram, you just do. Right? It's just like, you know, as I mean, there's just things you just do. You know, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take your bath, you eat something, you go to work. It's just that people do it. So Varnashram's like that. It's just your lifestyle. It's what you do. But the point is that there should be that further knowledge of understanding and not the soul, and then that point of devotion. So you understand where the difficulty comes is that if we're saying, oh, this is all about just the karmis, then it makes it very easy. Everyone goes, yes, yes. If we say this includes the devotees, that's where you start to get freaky. But it's the same process. The process of elevation is the same. Just like the yogi elevates himself, purifies his senses, you know, focuses his mind, and then finally then surrenders to the Lord. Right? So he only gets that surrender at the very end. Okay? Now the devotee is surrendering at the beginning of the process. That's why he's taking the process up. So that means all these elements of the Astanga aspect, the principles, are exactly the same. You're going to, you know, what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to situate yourself properly, control, you know, the activities, control the senses, bring in the senses, take them off the sense objects. Focus them on, you know, the mind on the Lord, you know, and then always absorb yourself in the Lord. It's going to be the same thing. Does that make sense? So we can discuss these eight levels of Astanga Yoga from the devotional point of view or from just the karmic point of view. Does that make sense? So that's what happens in these discussions. When you deal with the levels of consciousness, then the devotee is situating himself in the fifth level of consciousness, but what is keeping him from being fully situated there? Conditioning. And conditioning has four aspects. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So therefore, the elevation in that has to be, because it's the same thing. I hear devotees talking about moralism just as straight up front moralism. So where's God in that? So that's atheistic moralism. It's just directly atheistic moralism. They're devotees. So if you ask them about God, they'll remember. But at that moment of morality, they've forgotten about it. It's, we have to put the community together. Everyone has to work together and be harmonious. And then everyone will be happy. And then, you know, the kids will grow up in a nice environment and there'll be love. And all. Have you not heard devotees talk like this? So that is atheistic moralism. But as soon as you bring up Krishna, bang, immediately they take it. But that's the conditioning, that's the impurities, that's what gets in the way of pure devotion. So that's where they're showing it. So therefore, your moralism needs to include God if it's going to be good. You know, and so you can include God on your speculative point. Devotees many times prefer that because they'd rather use a Western paradigm for their moralism than use the Vedic. So, you know, and how is that connected? Where does it come from? What's the connection? You know, is connected like 1,000 years ago through Christianity, or you know what? You know, and then since then, they've completely forgotten. They don't know. It's just, oh, but everybody knows you're supposed to do that. How does everybody know? The kids don't know. So how did they learn? Right. So it's a matter of training, a matter of understanding, a matter of knowing why. That's not taught. All it is everybody agrees you're supposed to do it. Why would everybody agree you're supposed to do it? What's the underlying principle in atheistic moralism that everybody in that group naturally feels is right? So they can enjoy. Because if you have moralism, then everybody can enjoy together. If everybody's enjoying, you get more enjoyment than just your enjoyment. How is that God conscious? You know what I'm saying? But devotees may talk to like this. Therefore, then you have to convince, no, God must be involved. Now, okay, they include God, but then you just make it up. But now you take it to the next point. No, there's actually the understanding of God. But then, the point is then, are they applying God into their moralism, or they're not? So are they actually doing it, or they're not doing it? They're saying, oh yeah, no, it's for Krishna, but how? Can you explain the science? Because it says scientific. Can you explain how it scientifically works? You know? So like that, so that it'll be, because we're trying to get to pure devotion. You know? And so then much of the time it's just, they still make up their own system. Talk about that it's connected to God, but his point is, it's just like this. How many of the okay, now we, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking in Tattva Viveka that in the spiritual world, everybody has one understanding of the relationship of the jiva with God. Right? It means as servant and what is pure devotional service. So pure devotional service is understood in the spiritual world. Right? Now it's a matter of whether that pure devotional service is with majesty or whether it's with the sweetness. That's all. But pure devotional service is the standard. Right? So now, all the world religions that are there, they have God, belief in God, and they have some moralistic things. But the thing is how they're applying that and that. Is it the system and the methods that are recommended by the persons from the spiritual world? No, they just made it up. You know, say, why does the cardinal wear red? You know, and your regular priest wears black. Where'd that come from? Originally, all Christians wore black. You know, in Paulinism. But if you were before that, they all wore just whatever, you know, was the local wear. You know, big shirts and chudders. You know, that's what they wore. You know what I'm saying? So where did it come from? They made it up. You know what I'm saying? And it's different than the East Orthodox. It's different. The hat's different, the cloak's different, the whole concept's different. Idea is, you should look nice, you should look like a gentleman, so you can go out and move with the people, and people will be comfortable. So that is a principle, that's good. But the tradition of it, they've created themselves. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, it doesn't have that flavor of the tradition from the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So the idea is that then it comes to the next stage, is that since you're going to have God, you're going to have, you know, activities, and you want to be successful in your moralistic life, you're not going to actually be successful in your moralistic life unless you follow Varnashram. Because you can say, well, no, people in the world are successful. Are they? It's a recession now. It's been going on for 5 years. That's a long time. That means they're not doing such a great job. You know? And all the things that you always, you know, you look on the shelves, right? You see your Vogue, you see your, you know, fancy car magazines, you see this, you see that. Do you see, you know, how you say, Soweto magazine, like the, you know, the latest in slums and, you know, statistics on how much of the population of the world is below the poverty line. How many kids have no education, are sick, like that. Do you hear that? It's probably way more than the total of the Western civilization. Good chance. But somehow or another, everything's great and moving forward and we've advanced nicely. No, it hasn't. Just a few people. And why? Because those ones are both below the poverty line. They're the ones doing the work. That makes sense. You know, just now, you know, figured out, I don't know, a couple of years ago that Africa has oil. And a lot of oil. And so you have these poor countries that are having civil wars with each other. So you go in and broker something and get in there. And then you start taking the oil. So as long as these guys get weapons for their, you know, civil war, you can have all the oil you want. Right? So that means the local population gets no benefit from their own natural resources. Now, how is that, you know, educated, enlightened? It's not happening. So the world is not happening. Why? Because the Varnashram system is not scientific. The businessmen are going to do business. That's normal. But there has to be the balance and there has to be controls on where they do business, how they do business. So that means governments are controlling that, not being controlled by businessmen. You know what I'm saying? So that's scientific. Then it works very nicely. So even when one wants to say, no, but the Western, this, that, how is it so great? If you really look at it, how is it so great? You know what I'm saying? You look at any magazine, any newspaper, at the editorial section. And what they're just talking about how fabulous everything is? Right, the editorials are always bashing something. That's what they do all day. I always find it was one of the best was Kushwant Singh. You ever heard of him? He might even be dead now, but back, you know, in his day, he was a very prominent Indian intellectual. He was a journalist. And his editorial was called With Malice Towards One and All. Yeah, you know, so he would, you know, just direct that. And all it was is it's his opinion, and, you know, and he presents, you know, things he goes through life and things he sees, like he goes on a trip to Delhi, funny things he sees. He writes these funny things, he just goofs on everybody, rips everything to shreds, you know, gives his opinion on how, and everybody, you know, loved it. He was, you know, I don't know, he's, you know, doing editorials from time immemorial. But that's what they do. So it's not that great. But as soon as you say Varnashram, and you show all the examples, Yudhishthira and this, it's all working very nicely. No, is that will be practical now. As if what's going on now is practical. You know? Okay. Some person, being born in a family of devotees, naturally becomes a devotee. Why? Because he has the association and training. Right? Another person taking birth in a materialist family will likely be a materialist. Thereafter, the teachings and association may be favorable or unfavorable. When the person attains full intellectual capacity, his nature becomes fixed. According to that nature, the person does his activities. Since in one lifetime all results of actions must be received, one person will go to heaven and another to hell. Is this the proper work of the all-merciful, all-discerning Lord? Right? Because he's pointing out some weakness. So someone's born in a nice family, someone's not born in a nice family, and then when the intellect becomes mature, like that, he becomes fixed in his position. Right? And that's what he then does for his life. And then, if we're saying that his results of his activities must be received in this lifetime, you know, you got a one-shot go at it here. Right? So then, that point is, but one started off in a non-devotional environment, so it started off in a devotional environment. And so their association and everything's going to be different, their training's different, and then they're supposed to come up with the same result? So how is this the proper work of the all-merciful, all-discerning Lord? Right? So in other words, by saying that this is what it is, one is actually going at fault on God, because you're not considering the soul. Those religions must accept one lifespan for all activity are imperfect and unreasonable. It's not reasonable. Right? So in other words, it went from being having a concept of reasonability to being unreasonable. And all because, you know, the, what do you call it? Reincarnation, you know, then, you know, they'll say that it puts some doubt on things or makes it look bad or think. No, if you say it's one lifetime and somebody's born in a poor family, rich family, one's, you know, devotional, one's not, then this is, you know, where did that come from? Why is it like, why would God so haphazardly just put people, but they all got to come to the same program? You know? Like, I give you the textbook and I give you the answers. And then, you know, after 2 weeks, we're going to have a test. And someone else who gets no textbook, no answers, he has to take the same exact test. And, you know, what is that? Well, how is that, you know, isn't that a little bit too overly spontaneous here? You know? That whimsical element is that. Do not be limited by these religions. Recognize the elevated nature of the soul. Taking shelter of Varnashram will make you happy. His Varnashram is going on the principle. If you take it just what's this birth. No, the point is the soul is there. This is what the situation they're in. Then they get trained and association. Because that's the, you know, I mean, you're starting off with the one, but the other part is training and association.
And now with this training and association, we can be in a full intellectual capacity.
Yes, then you can be trained to whatever your capacity is. And as we said, it doesn't matter. We put the social stigma on, you know, being a Shudra is bad. But what is that? That's karma.
Yes.
So that, oh, being a Shudra, oh, you're labeling devotees Shudras, that's karma, Mr. Bhakti. The point is, a Shudra is just, he works for somebody. Who said that's bad? James Bond works for somebody. He's a Shudra. The big guy, you know, in the three-piece Armani suit, you know, riding first class, you know, to, you know, Milan and Paris for making some business deal like that. He works for a company. He's a Shudra. And everybody thinks these guys are great. Your celebrities, they're Shudras. Your artists and that, they're Shudras. Your big musicians, you're Shudras, right? Justin Bieber is a Shudra. You know, so it's just like all these things. And we think they're all great. The Formula One driver, he's a Shudra. It's not his car. If it was his car, he's not a Shudra. Then it's most likely he's a Kshatriya and has some extra money and wants to have some fun. But he's hired by, you know, Ferrari or was it Renault or somebody. He's a Shudra. So basically everybody you know and revere in the world are all Shudras. And then we'll say, oh, being a Shudra, you're labeling Shudras as bad. What's wrong with a Shudra? Shudra's a human being. Lechan Yavana, now that's a problem. That's not human. That's something. Shudra is a human. Right? If you say someone's a soldier and then this other guy is an officer, you don't have a problem. Yes, because soldier is a natural thing, and then amongst soldiers, they're all officers. So that's the point. Varnashram means that there are Shudras, and amongst the Shudras, some are leaders. So that's your Brahma, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. You know, it just comes from the, how you say, the colonial mentality. Because basically, you know, someone from Asia, some in the Middle East, some from Africa, South America, you know, like that won't have really a problem with these positions. Because they're more realistic about who they are, what they're doing, and all that like that. They just want to see that life goes on, they're secure, they can be God-conscious, their family can be God-conscious, everybody can be happy. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about the position. That's more of the Western kind of thing. So that's been the trip between the conquistadors since, you know, some hundreds of years. They always have this trip. Mm-hmm. It's always about, you know, position, fame, power, like that. Of course, you want to consider that. Yes, okay, then you have to look at it. But the problem is if everybody's an officer, then who do you, you know, what is it, officiate? You know? Because, you know, everybody's... Every girl is Miss America. So who's the real man? All the girls. You know, it just doesn't work. Okay, 7, 8. It is necessary to perform work. So in other words, he's saying, even within, so now you understand what's happening here, is now he's going from, by introducing Varnashram, then you're actually being situated nicely or solidly on this platform of Dharma. Because Varnashram is actual Dharma. If you don't follow Varnashram, technically you're not really on the third level of consciousness. You're on the second. Like that. You may be very close or at the very bottom of the one. You know, it means you have... It's, in form, it kind of looks like it, but in mentality, really, it's not. You know? Yes?
Pseudo-theist?
Yeah, the pseudo-theist and all that, like that. But even you have the theist, you can have the theistic moralist, but if he doesn't follow Varnashram, he's not really situated. So you can see it's kind of like there's three levels. There's the pseudo-theist, there's the actual theist, and then the theist who understands and follows, he's not the body, he follows Varnashram. Because actually to follow Varnashram in its natural, in a daiva state, you have to understand you're not the body. The devotees use, I'm not the body, I don't have to follow it. Okay, if you want to do that, move to the fourth level. Then you're a jnani. There are no householders on that platform. They're all brahmacharis and sannyasis. So fine, do that, great. Makes things a lot simpler. Right, you know? Does that make sense? You know, about... Yeah. You reduce your cost by 90%. You know? So it's fine. But then do it. Don't just pick and choose what you want.
Mark, many people would throw out the Varnashram, also want to throw out the brahmacharis and sannyasis because they feel it's unreasonable.
It's unreasonable.
Yeah.
But... why would that be unreasonable? That's the simple thing. Means, you know, I'm saying it's just like this. You can touch your nose like this, or touch your nose right all the way around your head, and you're saying, okay, no, this is the bona fide, and this one we're going to throw out. The point is if you don't understand, it basically is like this. If you don't understand the importance or the position of brahmacharis and sannyasis, no one should fool themselves. They are not a grihastha. It's not possible. You cannot be a grihastha unless you appreciate the principles of brahmacharya and sannyas. Because grihastha means within the family position, God is the center. And how will God be the center if it's not based on controlling of the senses, respect for authority, cleanliness, you know, study of the shastras, knowledge, proper performance of duty, proper service attitude. If you don't have those, then not only you're not a grihastha, there's a good chance the women aren't even impressed. Like that. I haven't heard it very often. It's very rare you'll find it that the women don't like brahmacharis and sannyasis. It's generally the men who make those comments. And the only women I've ever heard that make them is ones where they haven't been dealt with properly. Then they'll make the comment. But then they're not impressed by the husband either, because if their husband impressed them, why would you remember about other people dealing with you badly? Who cares? You know? So in other words, their husband's not a great grihastha either. Otherwise, why would they say those things?
Everybody,
it is like this, like not only women don't like brahmacharis and sannyasis, but grihastha.
No, women like brahmacharis and sannyasis because they can do something they can't do. But the problem is a grihastha who doesn't have the element of brahmacharya and sannyas, women don't, it means they're useful to keep around. You know, just like you have a pack horse or, you know, something like that. They're useful. But it's not that they're impressive. Impressive is when the man can do stuff the woman can't do. If the woman can do everything the man can do, what's to be impressed about? As we were discussing this morning, there has to be something beyond. So that's the masculine principle. It's beyond the feminine principle. Is that it's independent while the feminine principle is not. Like that? The masculine principle can function in an environment of non-possession. Women will function always in a field of possession. You know, if they're a business person, then everybody in the business is theirs. Well, for a businessman, the science of business is what's his. And these are his facilities. But emotional ownership and that, he's not worried about that. As long as it works in the mechanics of his science of business, he's fine. But for the woman, they're hers on the emotional platform to be involved however she wants them to be emotionally. Right? She's doing business also because she won't be able to control and have that kind of interaction unless she controls the business and makes money and can pay them. You know, it's just like we were saying before. You have a kshatriya, he takes taxes so he can protect the people. A vaishya protects the people so he can take taxes. You understand? So you get like this. It reverses. The women are doing the business because of the emotional elements. The men make deal with the emotional elements so they can do business. So say what you like, they're never the same. It's just not going to happen. Just because the skills are the same, this, that, it's still different.
And so being... So not following the rules, it's called maverick mentality.
It's what?
Not following any rules or any systematically going. So if one person doesn't have that mentality, So grihastha ashram doesn't work.
How will it work?
It's difficult.
How will it work? How will it work? Women are based on the principle of mind. Mind, it comes from the mode of goodness. So if there's not regularity, cleanliness, and this and that. You know, what's the difference between, let us say, the wife's in the house, and the man's there. What does the house look like? Nice or not? What if the wife goes away to visit her mother for 2 weeks, and just the man's there? What's it like when she comes back? Right? So that's the whole point, is that that cleanliness, the tidiness, the orderliness is required, but at the same time, because of the element of dependency, then there must be that aspect of security. And you feel secure when you can control. Right? The man controls something so he can apply technique and get results. Woman applies technique, gets results to have security. The man's secure. You know, he's just, once applied technique, gets results. You know, for the woman, they have results, but it's so technique is just to create the security. You know, the options. So whatever it is that they're doing it, they're dealing in the same fields, but the where they're starting from or where they're ending is opposite. Right? Man starting in sambandha trying to get to prayojana. Woman's in prayojana trying to establish sambandha. Right? Man gets married. Does he talk about the relationship after that? The woman's always talking about relationship. You always have to say, I love you. You always have to. She's always testing and seeing if you actually love and if you're there and everything. Why? Because it's the security. The sambandha is the point. The man takes it for granted. That's just normal, of course. Now, hey, let's, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. So because of that, then it's recommended. You follow the Varnashram and everything works very nicely. But if you don't understand it and don't have the right mentality, it still is not going to be that great. Because we're not interested in, just like we're not interested in just efficiency and devotional activities. He sat down, he got his rounds chanted in 2 hours, got up and he walked away. Great, that means, and he does it every day. Nice, so he's gotten practice at that. But is the consciousness about Krishna? Is he hearing the holy name? Right? But you'll say that if he's doing every day, 2 hours, he comes, he chants, he goes away, and so therefore, you know, it's steady. You'll say, that's good, that's an improvement, but now you work on the consciousness. So the same with Varnashram. If he was good at it, steady at it, that's great, but if the consciousness is not there, what's the meaning? Because we look at religion for dharma, artha, and kama. Right? And then philosophy we look at for moksha. You know, so the point is no, dharma, artha, kama, moksha all have to be connected to Krishna. So karma and jnana, if they're not connected to Krishna, they're useless. So we're not interested in Varnashram for Varnashram's sake. It's not because then we'll have a nice society and the world will be perfect. No, the world's perfect if they're Krishna conscious. So that's the point. Even if you don't practice it, you can go back to Godhead. But what are people complaining about nowadays in the Krihastha scene? Right? Lack of money, lack of sense of community.
No facility.
So where do those come? What Varnashram is what offers all that. So the very things they're complaining about that are a difficulty in the practice of devotional service is perfectly accomplished by Varnashram. So now that's the mode of ignorance. What's religion is considered irreligion, what's irreligion is religion. So Varnashram is considered not the thing. You know, in the modern concept, that's the thing. That's what Krishna's talking about. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, it's not about establishing Varnashram, it's about the consciousness that in which it's used.
So then that becomes Daivi Varnashram.
That becomes Daivi Varnashram. If you don't have the right consciousness, it's just the mechanics of it, that's Varnashram. So most of the time devotees, when they discuss Varnashram, are only discussing the mechanics of it. It's not Daiva Varnashram. Or it's Daiva Varnashram, and then they throw it into some kind of speculative, like kind of Western Christian kind of thing, of just, everybody's nice and happy. And it's kind of like, well, where's the mechanics? You know, it's either everybody's out there getting dirt under their fingernails and growing carrots, or who's in control of who's got the money. These aren't what Varnashram is about. Varnashram is about engaging your conditioning. It's not a very well understood topic. So, here he's pointing out what's the advantage, what's the reason for it. Okay? So it is necessary to perform work according to the scriptural injunctions. Okay, so now we've accepted the Varnashram. Now, you're going to have, this work is of two types, right? It's necessary to perform work according to the scriptural injunctions. You're not saying, it's a point of discussion, maybe you'd like to, maybe you'd not. No, it's necessary. Because without it, how do you know that you're doing the right thing? How do you know it's progressive? Right? This work is of two types, with desire and without desire, right? Sakam and Nishkam. You should not be attracted to work which directly strengthens the senses for enjoyment. It doesn't mean that it's not engaging the senses. It means that the senses are engaged just for enjoyment. Right? So that's where I would say, you know, don't get into fancy cooking or this or fancy dressing. It's because by getting into it, you get distracted by it. But the point is it's not a problem to engage the senses in the Lord's service. So if you're cooking nice, if you have the ability to cook nice, then you should be cooking nice for Krishna. Right? If you have the ability to dress nice, you dress nice for Krishna. But it's not about the cooking or dressing. It's not about the effect of the dressing or the effect of the cooking. It's about the quality of service to Krishna. You dress nice, people think this is nice. They don't mind hanging around you. So then discussions of Krishna consciousness can go on. Food is nice, people take it, they're attracted. Desireless work is obligatory. So now it's even pointing out is that nice karma is actually the position of Varnashram. Sakam is not actually, you're using the mechanics for yourself, but that's not what it's for. Varnashram is to please the Lord. So Sakam means it's mixed. There's Daiva Varnashram mixed with the Sura Varnashram. Mechanics are the same, it's just the mentality is mixed. In doing such work, there is no desire, even if it yields sense pleasure, for desires refers to self-interest. Here, what he's saying, desire, self-interest. It doesn't mean the senses aren't engaged. Then we'll get the idea, then we move into the next one, is that, okay, the senses aren't engaged. But that's against the nature of the soul. But I mean, temporarily it can be done to establish a point. It means if you have trouble engaging the senses in an area that you can't remember God at all, even with, you know, proper association or proper understanding, then better for some time you don't engage the senses in that particular area, because other areas you're able to engage the senses and be Krishna conscious. Right? So the point is engaging the senses in areas that you can be Krishna conscious is more important than avoiding those areas that you can't. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you have a choice, you make a service out of engaging the senses in ways that are positive rather than a service out of not engaging your senses in the areas that you can't do. Does that make sense? So, because you'll become purified. And it's just like the brahmachari. Okay, brahmachari, he doesn't know how to deal with women, right? Okay, let's look at it. The boy... You know, he's born into the family. The mother takes care of him completely. Okay? Anything he wants, basically, and this and that, as long as the relationship is nice. You know, but he can be very self-centered. He can be not, you know, in other words, he can be not so respectful. You know, not actually have any understanding of how things work, like how food gets on the table or how clothes get washed or the house gets cleaned. Right? He can have not really much of a service attitude. He can be not clean, right? He can not cooperate with anybody else in the house, right? Does that make sense? But his mother will take care of him, right? And so then the problem is a brahmachari thinks this is what women are. Women are something that whatever you want, they get done for you. Now, will this person be a good grihastha? No. So therefore, they avoid associating with women. Because if they do, they'll associate from a self-centered point of view. And they associate with other elements that will develop all those qualities required to be a proper grihastha. You know, the respect, the ability to work, the cleanliness, the steadiness, the service attitude, the knowledge. All those things that are required in household life, then the brahmachari focuses on those. Now, if having gone through that, he doesn't need to apply those in grihastha life, he already has them. Those are applicable in devotional service. Or if he feels that he would prefer to situate himself in grihastha life, then he can, because now he has the qualification. Now he can be with women. But that's why brahmacharis aren't with women, because they don't know how to deal with women. Right? Basically, for the brahmachari, who's the only woman that they can kind of, in a limited way, be associating with? The guru's wife. The teacher's wife. You know, the senior's wife. Because then it's like mother, but it's more formal than your own mother. So you can't pull all the emotional trips like that. You know, in other words, she governs it. And so that's okay in a limited amount. Does that make sense? So that's why the Varnashram does it that way. They say, oh, but it's not natural. It means if you want an animal, then yes, Varnashram is unnatural. If you want an animal, then Varnashram is not for you. If you want a human being, there's nothing else other than Varnashram that will make him into a human being. How is he going to become a human being? Right? Just because you grow up doesn't mean it means a small dog, when it grows up, does it become a human being, or it just becomes a bigger dog. So if you're an animal when you're born, that if you're not trained in Varnashram, you grow up to be a bigger animal, that's all. I may have just answered a very old question. Are adults big kids or are kids just small adults? But that's, it's the wrong question, it's the wrong approach. The actual approach is small animals, big animals.
Yes.
So that reconciles the problem. Been having this problem for a long time. Okay. If it yields sense pleasure for in doing such work there is no desire, even if it yields sense pleasure, for desire refers to self-interest. Desire doesn't mean sense pleasure, desire means self-interest. Because the only thing you have to work with is your senses. In performing work is a matter of duty, there's no desire or kama. By this work, the Lord is satisfied. When the Lord is satisfied, both material satisfaction and liberation are possible. Right? Because devotees, they want the material pains to reduce or go away. They want the material facilities to be, you know, basically pleasant and consistent. Right? And they want to become Krishna conscious. So chanting Hare Krishna and those direct acts is what's going to make you Krishna conscious. Varanashram being performed as nice karma, that's what's going to give you the material facilities and get you out of the material world. Right?
Perfection is bliss.
Hmm?
The perfection is bliss.
You have to. Means what? If you're not conditioned, you don't have to bother with Varanashram. Yes, means devotees to preach, they do. But if they're not, then they don't worry about it. Vamsidas Babaji didn't worry about it.
Yes.
You know? So, but the point is he's not out preaching. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wouldn't let anyone go see him. Because no one would understand.
Is there anyone who has achieved Krishna fame without following Varnashram?
I think Shivananda sends dog. No, but that's a, what do you call that? Oxymoron? Human body, human means Varnashram. They're not following Varnashram, they're an animal.
But they may have done the one living entity might have done the Varnashrama in other life.
Yeah, but then what would his position be this life? If he doesn't have to follow this life, that means he's functioning on the platform of Naishkarma. So then, what will his lifestyle be? Right? If you're saying he doesn't... See, in other words, if you're going beyond Varnashram, it means you just remain a brahmachari. But if you include household life, there's no question that you can't do that without Varnashram. You know, you say, oh, you want to move beyond Varnashram? Then remain celibate. That's moving beyond Varnashram, because the whole point is Varnashram is get you to those points. And that's a more mature level. But you're going to say, well, you know, act completely beyond, then Paramahamsa, but he doesn't care for social things. And the people who talk about they don't want to follow Varnashram are very, very worried about social elements. Extremely worried. In fact, generally, it's the ones that are most worried about Western social acceptance that oppose Varnashram. So it doesn't work together. It means all these things sound great, but the point is, if he's done it all before, then that means he'll be a Paramahamsa now. So what will he do as a Paramahamsa? Fully be engaged in service and all that, you know, just like what we're seeing. We see Prabhupada, so he's just engaged in service, but he followed Sannyas Dharma. You know, but if he doesn't follow, then how do people follow him? So in other words, you're either going to not preach and do whatever you like. Just sit in your house and chant all day and not worry about anything. What time you're chanting, when you're eating, not eating, this and that, whether anybody comes over and sees you or not. You just don't worry. Either do that or you follow, you know, one of the aspects and set example. And so some of them, you know, especially the Lord's associates, they come and, you know, are as grihasthas.
It is not possible without Varnashram.
Which?
To achieve Krishna prem without varnashram is not possible.
That's not what we said. Don't mix these two up. This is the fine line. That's the problem with discussing this stuff. So, you know, so if you push it that it's necessary, then, oh, you can't get prema without varnashram. Or it's that, no, that it's not about, it's just support. Oh, so we don't need it at all. These are the two. Does that make sense? No, you're not going to be situated well as a human being without varnashram. Right? And you're trying to engage the human element in Krishna's service. Because the human element is in the mode of goodness. It's easier to engage. It's easier to go from pure goodness goodness to pure goodness and back to goodness. And you fall down, you fall from pure goodness to goodness. You know, like that one comment about Bhakti Trumash. You know, he was young, you know, Bengali boy, hasn't been around so long. And he Prabhupada was going to give him sannyas. And all the big, big sannyasis are saying, no, no, but he's so young. What if he falls down? Prabhupada looked at him and says, yes. If he falls down, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. Like that. Everybody just shut up because they knew where they'd fall to if they fell down. You know, so then that was it. The discussion was over. So that's the whole point. Is mode of goodness is very easy to move up and down. But if you get conditioned by the goodness, then that's a problem. But because if one's sincere, Krishna's there, he'll rock your boat. You know, he'll do something. So what he's saying is that varnashram is the natural step in the dealing in conditioned life. You know, going from, you know, atheistic immorality to accepting at least morality, then going to God's, you know, God-conscious reality, morality, and then adding the social system of varnashram, because up to this point, it's all been about the speculative system, how to cultivate science and arts and industry and everything so that human society is prosperous so everyone can enjoy it. So now he's introducing varnashram, so you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing rather than just what's good for your senses. And then, introducing varnashram, then it's nice karma. Right? So even if you want to follow, don't want to follow varnashram, but still you have to function on nice karma if you want to get liberated. If you say, we're not interested in liberation, but yes, we're not interested in Western culture either. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't dismiss one and then keep the other. If you dismiss, you dismiss it all. And if you're going to keep it, then you have to keep it according to the principles.
But then it will be sannyas. It will be sannyas mentality.
Which?
Yes,
sannyas mentality. It doesn't mean that you're not doing that. It means, why is the guy, you know, working? You know, get money for his family just because he wants the money so he can impress his wife so he can have sex. Is that how it's supposed to? That's grihastha? No, the family is Krishna's family. And so, but he has a conditioning that he's comfortable in a family environment with those particular kind of emotional interactions and duties. Right? So therefore, he's taking care of Krishna's family. So it's nice karma. It's Krishna's family, not his family. But it's his responsibility to take care. That's nice karma. So everybody does their duties without desiring the results for their own senses. That means, in other words, it's not self-centered work. It's God-centered work. Okay. It's either a big frog or a small frog in a bamboo. They find spots where when they croak, it echoes. You know, you find us this little dinky frog like this. You know, it's like kids shouting into a well or something or a cave, you know. Gives like that, so you know, I can see the beginning.
Is that why there's the frog in the well analogy? The frog likes the echo in the well?
Yeah, well, I think they like the water, but it's also when they're in the well and they croak, it makes so much noise. They really, you know, it seems to, they really seem to like it.
Yeah, practicing.
Practicing, yes. Yeah.
So from Bhagavatam, examples of the kings or devotees who have followed varnashrama, like suppose Maharaj Bharat Maharaj, in his in the Dharatma.
So what's your point? What's your point?
The point is, who have followed Varnashrama in their previous lives, and
people in Varnashram have been following it in previous lives. That's the reason they're in it in this life.
No, what I'm trying to say is, like, is there any comparison that we can make with Bharat Maharaj pastime and Varnashrama? Like following the Varnashrama.
No, but what are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to compare? You know what I'm saying? Compare this rug here with a Lamborghini. what do you mean?
So the idea is that to encourage the people to take up Varnashrama. So if you take up now and follow rules and regulations nicely, then if we are not able to get the love of Godhead this lifetime, these will be considered next lifetime,
We don't look at it like that. We take it, the point is, Varnashrama is not our perfection, it's a tool. Just like you go into a kitchen, you use pots and pans and the fire and a rolling pin and the grater and all those things. But is that what's important? Or is it getting the meal and eating the meal? What's important? Okay, so Varnashram is simply a tool that devotees use because it's the best for organizing human society. It's not that Varnashram is what makes you Krishna conscious. A Krishna conscious person uses Varnashram. The pots don't make the cook. The cook can use the pots. Now, a better cook can use better pots. That's the main problem. Because to use Varnashram as a tool needs more qualification than just your standard, you know. How you say it? You know what I'm saying? So generally, those who have a problem with Varnashram is because they don't have the qualification to follow it. Or they may have the qualification, but they don't have the understanding why it's valuable. So that's why it says training association. Varnashram is not something that, by following it, that's going to make you God conscious. It just makes it easier. Just like this. Where will it be easier? Sitting in front of the deities chanting japa, or going outside the front gate into that market and sitting down in the middle of the road there and chanting your japa? Right? But you could say, no, but if I sit out here, then I learn to be humble and I learn to focus and not get distracted and, you know, all these kinds of things. You could come up with all kinds of stuff why you have to, you know, so, yes, you know, we have to do all these things because this will create community spirit. And no, it won't. If it did, it's like this. If it would have created community spirit, we would have had community spirit a long 20, 30 years ago. L.A. as a community has been there since the 70s. Alachua has been there since, when did they move to Alachua? I think in the 90s or something like that. So many around the world have been there. Where's the community? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is trying to base community on a Western moral system that won't work. You have to base it on the Vedic, so because it's scientific, you make sure everything works. But you have to know what it is. Okay. With this solid reasoning, a person means, in other words, of naishkarmya. In other words, you're doing it without selfish motive. It's not that you won't get benefit, because, oh no, but if you do that, you get benefit. But that's not what it said. Its point is it selfish or not? That's the consideration. With this solid reasoning, a person should establish himself in Varnashram Dharma and live a life of theistic morality. At this stage, it begins the serious attempt to discover the goal of human life. Right? So now for devotees, they've already discovered the goal of human life. Right? Someone can say, oh, they don't need this. And on one level, no, they don't. If they're fully absorbed just by the direct activities of sadhana bhakti, then great. But that means all you're doing is chanting and preaching and taking prasad and associating with devotees. And who does that these days? A few do. Right? Before it was standard, everybody was supposed to do the temple, but as they want to create a community, then when the community is not doing sadhana, then that rest of the day, how is that connected to Krishna? So that's the point, is that all these indirect activities, then it's recommended here for the devotee. Now we're working with both two things here at once. One, the materialist moving slowly up in his consciousness from atheistic moralist to pseudo-theistic moralist to, you know, genuine theistic moralist, to actually now following Varnashram. Right? And so that will make it dynamic. So now, at this stage, then he begins the serious, because the Varnashram is all about the rules and all about control. So why? What is this for? Who is this for? Right? So then you want to know about God. So for the devotees, is that you have all these things in your life, I'll go home and I'll do whatever I want. So how am I Krishna conscious? But if I have restrictions, what do I have to think about? I have to think about God. Right? So then, it's still of value for the devotee in his life, in those aspects of his life that aren't direct activities of devotional service. So anything that's indirect. Like, how do you connect your bath to Krishna? Right? Connecting your japa, yes. You just, the name itself is Krishna. Now it's just a matter of you're aware. But if you become aware of your bath, now it becomes spiritual. Right? If I'm conscious of my bath, is it spiritual? No. I'm conscious of the holy name, I get the full benefit. I'm not conscious of the holy name, I still get spiritual benefit. But if I'm conscious of my bath, I don't get more some spiritual benefit. And then if I'm not conscious of my bath, I just do it mechanically, I still get spiritual benefit. No, it's just a bath. So why are you doing this bath? What's the reason you're doing this bath? Right? Bath is an easy one, because you take a bath and you go to Mangal Arati. So you go because you want to be clean to see the deity. But are they looking at it from the principle of cleanliness? Because if they are, then what about, you know, washing their hands after they eat? You know, how they eat? You know, how they serve prasad? How they do all? Is the cleanliness considered? And if it's not considered, then taking a bath in the morning is just because you used to take a bath before. You know what I'm saying? There may be occasionally that thought. Much of the time you just go in, take a bath, and you know, it's this and that, and worrying about something else and what you're going to do today. And, you know, you're not thinking about the sadhana in the morning program. You're at 4 in the morning, but you're thinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9, 10, 12. Does that make sense? So that's why it's important, because then it controls it. And then in that controlled state, that's where you can remember the Lord. So at this stage, it begins a serious attempt to discover the goal of human life. Because we've talked about naishkarmya. Because if you're giving up the result, who's the result for? So it's for God. So now you start a very serious attempt to try to know God, to find God.
Naishkarmya automatically leads to the desire for transcendental knowledge.
If you have the proper, it means yes, basically transcendental knowledge, but whether that transcendental knowledge is devotional depends on association, because otherwise the impersonalists also use naishkarmya, because it's just a Vedic system. Brahmacharya is naishkarmya, vanaprastha, sannyasa, automatically naishkarmya. But grihasthas are supposed to use naishkarmya, but they might also not use naishkarmya. Is that what you're saying? He begins to consider the relationship of soul and God. Right? Because everything about it is it's being restricted to get a particular, to engage certain qualifications that are the body, so that you get certain results that are not for you. So then, what is this whole process? I'm not the body, but I'm engaging in the body in activities that get results, but the results are not mine. Right? Does that make sense? So, the sambandha, the body, is there. It has particular skills. I engage in activities. Avidya. I get a result. Prayojana. But the result's not for me. So if the result's not for me, it's not because the body doesn't really care. And I don't. If I think I'm the body, of course, then okay, then it works. But if I understand I'm not the body, I'm the soul. The result's not for me. Who's the result for? Result's for God. So what now is the sambandha between me and God? Yes. Like that, you understand? So, in other words, you're doing this activities of sambandha abhideya prayojana with the body, But understanding the knowledge of the soul and his Ganesh Karmya, that awakens then looking at the real sambandha of the relationship with God, the real avideya of the activities of devotional service, the real prayojana of love of God. But if you think you're the body, then these two become blurred. And so naturally you'll take the gross over the subtle. He begins to consider the relationship. Okay, at this stage he begins the serious attempt to discover the goal of human life. He begins to consider the relation of soul and God. After coming to a conclusion, however, the real question is not yet solved, and the person then asks, who am I? What is my relation to the world? What is my relation to God? What is my final position? Right? So Varnashram is meant, because that's why it's called Brahminical culture. It's meant to invoke an understanding of Brahman. Mm-hmm. Right, that's another point. Varnashram is meant to situate you on the Brahman platform, the transcendental platform, the platform of the soul. The Western culture is meant to situate you on the platform, I am this body.
Yes.
So why would it be superior? There are three types of reconciliation to the doubt raised. Action for one's own happiness, annihilation of one's self-interest and impersonal knowledge, and bhakti, the cultivation of the soul's inherent nature. Right? So in other words, you can follow Varnashram for karma, for your own benefit, for jnana, to merge into the Supreme, or for bhakti. Right? So the point is once you've gotten to this point, all options are available. At the lower ones, they're not actually available. Bhakti's not available, jnana's not available, and you only get a portion of karma.
Yes.
You don't even, you know, even for the materialist, he's not actually that good at materialism. He's got tons of money, but his family's life is falling apart. Or, you know, he's got good family life, but, you know, he's not making money, and then the family life falls apart. You know? In any case, it falls apart, right? In the system. Does that make sense?
So, here it's like a freedom state.
Yeah, so at this point, you actually have the choices. Now, since you're going to do the same endeavor anyway, why would the intelligent man will do it for bhakti? Right? Because for karma and jnana is both temporary. Because you're going to do the Varnashram's the same work. It's the same where you're going to go to the same job, work the same amount of hours, come home to the same family, interact in the same proper way, get the same material results. It's going to be the same dinner. It's not that, you brought home, something, and so if it's bhakti, dinner will be one thing, if it's jnana, it'll be a different, and if it's the karma, it'll be different. You know, we have bhakti potatoes, we have jnana potatoes, we have karma potatoes. Here. Does that make sense? Yeah, well, I guess it's, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that. I'm just trying to imagine it. You know, one of them would be in bechamel, or, one of them would be just, I could get void potatoes, you understand? It doesn't change, so the point is the intelligent man then does this for bhakti. Because in other words, this is the best endeavor in human life, is to be engaged in the Varnashram, in Naishkarmya, and to have asked, who am I? Come to the platform of Atapto Brahma Jivyasa. Now, at this point, he can either go into karma jnana or bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, the endeavor is at its best, so why not now make it perfect by devotion? Because the other two, it's not perfect. You respect the one. You respect, even though the jnani position is lower than the karmi, as far as the appreciation of rasa, the personal aspect. But it's higher because they're closer to getting out of the material world. And so since bhakti takes you out of the material world, they're a step ahead of the karmis in that way. But because they don't accept the personal, then that puts them a step behind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the karma, the jnani is ahead in the way of renunciation, but behind in the personal aspect. And the jnani is ahead in the personal aspect, but behind in the element of detachment. Yes. They're all relatives. That's what we're saying is that, the demigods are trying to discuss which is the better, between the two things. But he says, but they're equal. You know, their point is that each one is equal. You know, if I have one or the other. But as Brahma points out, the consciousness is the most important. The faith is the most important. Right. You know, so if you just have a good karmi and a good jnani, then basically they're the same. It's just a matter of time before the karmi, by doing his good work, becomes a jnani, and it's just a matter of time before the jnani gets bored and becomes a karmi. But now, if it's done with faith, then one is better than either of these positions. So the faith is the important thing. So that's then what we're talking about here, is that faith is coming into play. Okay. Om
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav Prabhupada ki.